Hi, and welcome once again to History.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Three dweebs, I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. And the topic of our podcast today is The Haunting of Esther Cox. We're going to talk about this young lady who had some paranormal activity going on, Brandy.
That sucks for her.
This don't seem like true crime to me, Timmy.
Well, yeah. We are a true crime comedy podcast, but we sometimes stray from the true crime genre.
Oh.
Yes.
We sometimes stray from a lot of things.
Yes.
And we sometimes stray from civility. So if that offends you, don't let the door hit you in your big ass on the way out.
We do sometimes use, occasionally, Brandy.
Church-going motherfucker.
What the
hell? There's nothing wrong
with
people.
I'm tired of these people complaining about the profanity and vulgarity. You know what's profane and vulgar?
You know, if you're tired
of their mamas.
That's if right. You're tired of fuck it, perhaps you shouldn't use it, and then perhaps they wouldn't be offended.
How are we going to expect to do a show with this heathen over here not cussing?
Well, when she and I do a podcast on her own, she never swears.
Yes, she does.
I'm quite popular.
Can we just get Brandy time out of the way?
Let me introduce our panel. Joined by the very lovely and talented, a lady who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, the much admired Queen Brandy the First. How are you today, Brandy?
I am excellent, Timmy. How are you?
I am doing well. So you excited about this time? This is your people, demons.
Yes. Now I'm pumped. Can't wait to see what happens here.
How's things been going for you?
Things are good. I'm getting ready to move and getting all that stuff together and getting ready for a graduation party. And
yes, congratulations to Jacob. Graduating.
Yes. And Noah's had a series of ailments that he's diagnosed himself with.
Yeah,
so that's been fun.
Well, tell us about Noah, because I know he has been having some conversations with you.
Well, first of all, he told me the other day that his wiener hurt when he peed, so...
Oh, that's not good.
Well, wait a minute.
That's never good.
Wait a minute.
We should put out Noah's six.
Well, Noah's seven, yeah.
Oh, seven, right.
His wiener hurt when he peed, so yeah. He thinks he has strep throat.
Hmm, what do you think about that, Colonel?
When it hurts to pee, it's never good. That's all
who
I can
knows?
Say.
Well, no, it didn't hurt to pee. His wiener hurt when he peed.
Yeah.
Which could mean, like, that, you know, he just needed to go to the bathroom. But that,
well, that's true.
But he was convinced that he had strep throat.
Well, there.
Which, by the way, he does not.
Okay.
And then he also.
I wonder how he got that.
And then he also told me the other day in his regular voice that he had lost his voice, that he needed to stay home from daycare.
So he told you this out loud.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, in his regular voice. He said, well, I've lost my voice. I need to stay home.
And you pointed out that he did. Maybe he thought he meant metaphorically he lost his voice.
I don't know. I don't need to get all metaphysical with this kid. I can't. But he, you know, he enjoys, you know, good medical YouTube videos.
Is he still
Oh, he's
looking?
Still all about that. Okay. He's still all about it. And he has actually downloaded an app onto his little device that is a surgery simulator.
Oh, there
nice.
You go.
Yeah, so he has trouble. Sometimes he has trouble with the words, but other than that, I got to crack this guy's rib cage open and see what's going on.
So he's either going to end up a doctor or a serial killer.
Sure. Yeah. Either way, I mean.
You're proud either way.
Yeah, I'm good. Either way, you know. So
well, I'm glad I hope young Noah's feeling better and that his wiener, his strep throat clears up.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, one of my nieces had strep in her butt, and I thought that was the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. But if you Google it, evidently it's a thing. Butt strep is a thing.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
How do you get that?
I don't know. I don't know. It travels through your body. I don't know how you get it, but she did. And so when my brother told me that, I said, that's the most bullshit thing I've ever heard in my life.
And you looked it up.
And we looked it up, and it's an actual thing. So, yeah. I mean, he could have strep in his wiener.
Well, you should have had, Noah to diagnose that.
Well, he doesn't need to
look at
anything.
Well, I hope he finds his voice. I'm really concerned about his voice.
Well, I'm sure he'll yell at me if he doesn't find it.
So, Brandy, you got some exciting things coming up. You're going to be in New Orleans for Podrin Love.
Yes, I am. As are you.
I will be there as well. We're going to do a live show in New Orleans with our good friend Rachel. Of Haunted Visions. Of course, the Colonel will not be there.
Because he doesn't travel outside.
Well, he doesn't travel. He has to stay close to home.
He doesn't travel. It's ridiculous.
Got that ankle bracelet.
Yeah, it's limiting.
Whatever.
Let me introduce a man who really needs no introduction. He's a man who has been described as an oasis, Brandy, in the desert of despair.
By no one.
He is a man of great honor and distinction.
No, he's not.
He is a man who has been called the most dangerous man in podcasting today.
Nope.
The very honorable, the Colonel, Reverend Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters, the third, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm not good, Timmy.
No, big surprise. He's not good.
Not good.
What's going on, Colonel? What's wrong?
Oh, I'm sitting in my house, Timmy.
Yes.
Get a knock on the door.
Okay.
It's some guy saying, here, are you the Colonel? And I'm like, yeah, I'm the Colonel. And, you know, and people show up. I'm used to stalkers, and I was wondering how this guy got past security.
See, you need to, you know, you shouldn't be listed because people
well,
see
I
you
like
out.
To, I like
they
to
seek out your advice.
But the thing is, Timmy, I like to stay close to the common people, Timmy.
I see. That's how Brandon and I don't.
That's how I keep it real.
We don't want people touching.
I do my own grocery shopping.
You are when keeping it real goes wrong.
Yeah.
That's what you are.
You do your own grocery shopping?
I do my own grocery shopping.
He's a man of the people.
He orders his groceries on Amazon.
But this sumbitch, you know what he hands me?
What?
Now, you remember our last episode. I told you some of the books I was going to do.
Yeah, you were writing some children's books.
He gave me a cease and desist letter to me.
Why is that?
From the estate of... And I'm not saying he was a wife beater, Timmy. Not saying he was a wife beater.
Okay.
Could he have been a wife beater? I don't know.
He had a wife.
Of Dr. Seuss.
Okay, Dr. Seuss, okay.
Saying I was doing some kind of copyright or trademark infringement from my new book series.
I see. And
Horton Chokes a Hoe and Horton Hires a Hoe. And
so they asked you to cease and desist.
They did.
And they are you... doing that?
Well, I'm
Are
still
you
writing, Timmy.
And or desisting?
I'm still writing. I started my first novel now.
Okay,
A novel.
It's a novel. Well, it's gonna be a trilogy. There might be four,
like Lord of the Rings.
And you'll probably want to read this one because it's gonna be a little.
You know, if it's a rare, topic, it will be a novel.
It will be. My first book, I believe, I'm gonna do is 50 Shades of Colonel.
Gross.
Are you going to wear some leather and be like a picture of you wearing leather on the cover, like
little motorcycle?
Studs with stuff.
Fifty Shades of Colonel. I thought
no shirt on.
Is it gay porn?
But then I was going to go to another one because I like, you know, I'm a sentimental man, you know that, and I'm working on two at the same time, Timmy. The second one is A Colonel Grows in Brooklyn, Timmy.
Well, I'm sure that would be very. Very enlightening, Brandy.
Have you ever been to Brooklyn?
Mm. I have.
I doubt it.
I have. And
it's outside
the Count
it's outside
of Monte
the
Colonel, Timmy.
The Count of Monte Colonel. Yeah. Well,
the Colonel of Monte Cristo.
I see.
He's going to write him a maritime story because, you know, he's a big ocean guy.
He's a man of the sea.
Yeah, we call him the Gorton's Fisherman for a reason.
So, Colonel, you sound like you have a very busy summer plan with all that going on.
Are we done
with Colonel?
No wonder you're not going to New Orleans with Brandy and I, because he's busy working, Brandy, on his
Yeah, I got a big advance on those, Timmy, so I got to get these on there.
Yeah, you'll be seeing him promoting his books and on Good Morning America and places like that.
No, you won't. No, you won't, because that would require him to travel.
Yeah, you don't like travel, do you, Colonel? You don't like other people,
I don't
basically.
I
you know what? This story has Canadians in it, Colonel.
Goddamn no. Canadians. You know what? That Here's Trudeau, that son of a bitch.
Well, no. We don't speak ill of Trudeau.
He disrespected our country. Apparently, I was listening to our president, and he said what I have been saying all along, Timmy. Canada is a threat to our national security. What
they burned
have
down
I
the
been
White
saying
House,
for
know.
Years?
They burned down the White House, you know.
They did. They burned down the damn house. I've been telling you people for years, Canada
Canadians
is a threat.
Violent.
Oh, yeah.
So you think we have to keep an eye on Shirley Strap?
Oh, we got to keep a close eye on her. Which, what makes you think I'm not keeping a close eye on her?
Here's
already,
the thing.
Timmy?
If it's not somehow attached to Ohio, mm-hmm. I don't think he goes.
No.
Like, it has Kentucky, Indiana.
Does he even go to Kentucky?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he probably goes there accidentally on his way around the west side, but still.
He's
you know,
a man. He likes west side of Cincinnati.
It's got to be attached to the state of Ohio. Anything beyond that, he's not that interested.
There are legal implications for me traveling too far that
well,
I do
now,
not
I,
want to get into
That
here.
Might be the truest thing you've said all afternoon.
Okay, want to get into the story?
Love to.
Thank you. This is the haunting of Esther Cox. COX. Colonel, before you get any weird thoughts.
Esther Cox.
Mm-hmm. For months, Brandy.
Yeah.
It tormented a 19-year-old girl and her family with deafening noises, horrifying threats, and unspeakable violence in one of the most famous poltergeist cases in Canadian history.
I'm so goddamn tired of poltergeists.
Do you run into a lot of poltergeists?
All the time. All the time.
Well, you should tell Brandy she could come out and do a haunted vision episode on your house.
Oh, yeah, that's what I need, another goddamn demon in my house, Timmy.
Some ghost stories, Brandy, live on because of the sheer terror they brought into the lives of those who experienced them firsthand. For the most part, ghosts and apparitions are harmless to those who witness them, flickering briefly into view to perform some timeless task or to relay a message from a departed loved one.
Or to just fuck with you.
And then fading back into the unknown, Brandy. You know this, of course.
Of course.
Poltergeist activity, however, is another matter entirely, Brandy. Seemingly to center around an individual, a poltergeist produces physical actions that have been known to cause serious harm and otherwise scare the hell out of his victims. It said daylights, but I added hell for a
there
little
you go. Well,
drama.
Right.
And because we're an adult show.
Yes. Have
God
to earn
damn
that
it.
E rating.
Mm-hmm.
Esther Cox of Amherst, Nova Scotia, that's in Canada, Colonel.
Yeah, the enemy.
Was such a victim in a case that became one of the most frightening poltergeist accounts in Canadian history.
Can I just interject something?
Cause yes.
Last night people were talking about a historic, you know, the thing with the North Korean guy meeting
I'm
with
talking
our
about,
president.
Kim
Have you
Young
ever seen
Ung.
Two goofier looking bastards standing together at one time? I mean, it was like a whole.
Wait a minute.
It was like the circus.
Excluding
came to
right.
Town.
Excluding right this very second.
Oh, come on. I don't have the funny hair that Kim Young Ung has.
I know. How can you?
And then, quite frankly, he needs to go on a diet. I mean, that is
roly poly.
That is the elephant in the room, or the white elephant in the room, Colonel.
I'm glad you're not afraid to address his
Kim
weight.
Young Ung. Well, if I did it over there, his people did it, they would shoot an anti-aircraft at him. But he really needs to lose some weight, Colonel. He needs to go on like one of those plans where they send you the food.
He needs to go on the biggest dictator loser, Timmy.
You think he would do well?
But you know what? Now, our president is not the specimen of physical fitness that we would
like.
Well,
according to his doctor, he is.
I believe his doctor got kicked out of the medical profession, too.
I don't think that's true.
His doctor operates out of a tent.
I believe he's using Kellyanne Conway as his doctor right now.
Okay, so back to Emily Cox. The strange events were witnessed and documented by many people, and even become subject of a book, Brandy.
What is the name of the book, Timmy?
I think it's A Mystery at Elmhurst. The strange events were witnessed, or I said that. The year was 1878, Brandy, and the place was Princess Street in Amherst, Nova Scotia, a town in north central Nova Scotia, where the province borders New Brunswick. Of course, Colonel, you're familiar with New Brunswick.
Yeah, back in my younger days, I used to do walkabouts there, Timmy.
You called it NB, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was pretty well known over there.
Now, Esther Cox, Colonel, was 19 years old.
Every time you say Cox, she looks up. The devil over here looks up like, what?
No.
19 years old. Esther Cox was 19 years old. She lived in a rented house with her married sister, Olive Teed. Brandy, Olive.
Yes.
And Olive's husband, Daniel Teed, and their two young children.
Have you ever seen a really attractive Olive?
No, but dude, I watched that. You ever see that show, that reality show where they're buying a wedding dress?
You know, yes.
Hold on.
Say yes to the dress.
Yes.
Sometimes, can I just say to me, sometimes you get off topic when you're trying to do this.
Well, I just want to say, you know, why is it that once in a while.
Yeah.
As soon as a woman puts on, you can have the ugliest woman in the world put on a wedding dress, and people say, oh, you're so beautiful.
Yeah, like a wedding dress changes.
Your hideous features. It's not true. Sometimes they're still ugly, even with the best, the most beautiful dress in the world.
Well, sometimes when they put the veil on,
that helps, right?
But you know what? Now, this is a way to get. Now you just got most of our audience riled up, because no matter how hideously somebody is,
yeah,
you can't point it out, Timmy.
Well, that's why I'm doing it. I didn't name a person. I just did it.
No, I mean, people, you could be a person that children run screaming from.
Mm-hmm.
But if you point it out and say,
all you have to do is put on a wedding dress, and then it's okay. You're the most beautiful thing ever seen.
I always like that, though. People are like, oh, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. First of all, I don't like wedding dresses. She looked better in a bikini if she was really attractive.
Mm-hmm.
You want to impress me, throw something else on. You know, go to Victoria's Secret.
So you're not impressed with the wedding gown, I take it?
Not at all, Timmy.
Okay.
Not at all.
All right, let's get back to Esther. So it was a crowded little cottage, Brandy, that they lived in.
Yeah.
Esther, her siblings, Jeannie and William, as well as her brother John. So a bunch of people living in this little tiny house.
Fucking tiny houses.
Suddenly, into this just ordinary home, horror struck, Brandy. But not from the same
paranormal horse.
You want me to get through this? Can't make fun of my words.
Oh, that's where you're wrong.
Rather, from an all too human monster, Brandy. It wasn't just paranormal that haunted Esther. Esther was nearly raped, Brandy, by an acquaintance named Bob McNeil.
Bob's a dick.
He was a shoemaker with a disdainful reputation of which Esther was unaware. Yeah, she almost gets raped, and that kind of seems to trigger all these events. Although she escaped the attack with minor injuries, the violence against her seemed somehow to open a door to the unknown. This time, from an unseen entity or entities, Brandy,
mm-hmm.
And the Amherst poltergeist mystery began. So let me give you a little background on Esther. She was born on March 28, 1860, Colonel, in Upper Stinwaukee, Nova Scotia. That might not be how you pronounce that, Brandy.
Could probably be wrong. Not.
But she was born in March 28th, so you know what that means, Colonel.
She was let's see, she'd be a Aquarius?
But her mother had been pregnant during the holidays, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
All babied up there.
Mm-hmm. Her parents were farmers. Her dad's name, Brandy, was Archibald.
Archie!
Yeah.
I mean, let's get back to Trudeau.
And her mother's name, get this.
Archie and who?
Esther Cox.
Archie and Esther.
Archie and Esther.
Now, Esther was her name as well. So she's like Esther Jr.
here. Right.
I don't like that at all.
Well, okay.
I don't like...
You should write a strongly worded letter.
Women should not name their children after themselves. Is that right? Am I wrong, Colonel?
No, women should not. There should be no Esther Juniors.
Yeah.
So anyway, here's my question. Mm-hmm. Why aren't we building a wall along Canada?
The fuck?
Well, I mean...
Why don't you discuss that on your other podcast, which is?
Rants and Reason. I'm about to have a rant because...
Yes, we like syrup.
And,
now shut up.
And Shelley would never let him talk about that on that show. She would hit him.
You know what? Shelley will do what I tell her to do.
No,
because I am the colonel.
You are out of your mind.
The other day, someone on our Facebook page said they wanted to know if a certain date was okay with you for DweebCon, which is coming up in October.
Mm-hmm.
And the colonel responded that you will be where we tell you to be.
Goddamn right. Goddamn right. You
just making friends everywhere.
You are just a talent. You just show up. You just show up and look pretty.
I was the one that asked the fucking question, you numbnut. It was a listener, you fucking twat.
And I answered. Yeah. I said, you will be there when I tell you to be there. That's right.
Hmm.
That's good PR work right
you
there.
You just need to understand.
So Esther.
All we need is another woman to fill that spot.
No, honey.
Oh, that's right. You're just a talent.
No, people like her.
Who? You know,
not you or what's his butt over there?
What's his
what
name?
What was the show? Charlie's Angels, where they kept replacing the one
Cheryl Ladd.
Yeah, Cheryl Ladd.
Oh, Farrah Fawcett,
Cheryl,
the Bronze.
Cheryl Hack. And,
yeah.
Yeah, they fired Cheryl Hack because they said she couldn't act.
Yeah.
Which, when was that criteria for that show?
Yeah. How many Emmys did that show rack up?
I don't know.
But I had that Farrah Fawcett poster when I was a kid.
Did you ever rub any out on it?
Who didn't? Who didn't?
Come on.
I mean, it started fading.
Tell me about Esther Jr.
I had it until I was like 33 years old.
Mrs. Colonel just made you throw it out last week.
Esther Jr. Okay.
Esther Jr. EJ.
She was the
little Esther.
She was the youngest of six children, Brandy. She had four sisters and
They ran out of names. That was the problem.
She had four sisters and one brother. Esther was named after her mother because her mother died shortly after giving birth. So that I guess that's okay then. Because then they were only one Esther.
Right.
It gets confusing when you got more than one Esther running around. She was a premature child, Brandy. Now this I don't believe, but this is what the research says, okay?
Uh-huh.
You can tell me you're a mom. She weighed only 5 pounds at 9 months of age.
No, that sounds like a crock of shit.
That's what I thought, too. But anyway, that's what it says in the research. She grew up sickly, Brandy.
Well, I knew.
She only weighed 5 pounds at 9 months.
Well, then she's a little person.
She suffered not only... I think she grew up to be normal, but she just got a bad start. She suffered not only from physical ailments, but also had the doctors... She had what the doctors described, Colonel, as a nervous nature.
Oh, she's a nervous Nelly.
I mean, she was...
She's a nervous Esther.
Nuts, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. You might want to put that stone down before you throw it, Timmy.
Yeah. When's the last time we've seen Timmy's eyebrows?
As Timmy walks through that big glass house, you might not want to be tossing stones down the driveway with people there, Timmy.
I don't know what you're trying to say.
Well, a nervous nature, don't they cure that with orgasm?
You know you can. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they used to.
The doctor would masturbate the woman. Now, I think that's some bullshit.
Why can't you do it to me?
Got together.
I paid my copay.
You got a nervous nature.
I got a nervous nature. I'm twitching.
Well, go to your doctor. Maybe he'll rub one out.
Yeah, maybe he will. He'll put a glove on and kiss your neck.
You can look at the Farrah Fawcett poster in his office. Now, Esther did well in school, Brandy. But tended to keep to herself. She loved to read and was very religious.
Mm.
Like many of our listeners.
Mm.
She did a lot of church going. Colonel, how's the Church of the Latter-day Colonel?
Oh, my God.
It's been going good, Timmy. We have our bake sale coming up in 2 weeks, and then we're going to have the rummage sale going on.
Is the bake sale for edibles?
And no.
But you can buy some rummage if you come to the rummage sale.
You can buy rummage. The bake sale is...
You need to have edibles. That's how you draw in the big bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then we're having the swap-a-thon.
I love the swap-a-thon.
What is that? Are you
is that the wife swap-a-thon?
Yeah, it's a wife swap-a-thon. Oh, no, okay. Wife swap-a-thon.
See, some guys should have to throw in cash because, again, everyone's not beautiful. You put a wedding dress
put
on
a wedding dress on them, and they're all right. That if you show up to a swingers club, you see a lot of women in wedding dresses.
Yeah.
And cheerleader outfits, strangely enough. I don't get that either.
Hmm. What do you think about that, Brandy?
I'm trying not to.
How many times you been to a swingers club?
I can say never.
So the economics professor never took you to a swingers club?
I might go, but what?
The economics professor never took you to the swingers
club? No, shut up.
You never really gave us a whole lot of detail about that sordid affair.
Gee, I wonder why. Because clearly it's being exploited just from the little snippet of information you got.
You mentioned it once in passing, like 8 years ago.
Ugh. I just wonder why you got a C.
I didn't.
I think she got C+.
I did not get that either.
What do you think you would have got if you had not slept with him?
Oh, my God.
B? So you think she'd have done better if she would have been more virtuous?
I do not know how she performed.
Well, Brandy, so you would go to a swingers club?
Sure, with my husband.
Right. But, I mean, you wouldn't swing. You'd just kind of watch or...
I don't know. I'd just be one of those things that would be interesting to do.
Would you go, Colonel?
To a swingers club?
Yeah.
I have had to referee at a swingers club before.
Did you wear the little striped shirt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because people will get carried away with what
you got
what
a whistle around
there.
Your neck.
Yeah. It's like, hey, put a condom on over there.
Out of bounds.
Out of bounds. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No touching there.
Personal foul, 15 yards. Okay, so as she grew up, Brandy, wait a minute, this was not unusual because there was a lot of people who were church going at the time. She was not, when she's not in school or church, she spent a lot of time with her brothers and sisters. She didn't socialize much with other kids except for the church socials. You've been to a church social before.
I actually have been to a church social before.
I bet you weren't very social.
I was. I did just fine, thank you.
Was that when? Now you're one of the big love people,
well, no,
right?
One time she's Catholic, next time she's Mormon.
I've never been Catholic.
She's a pagan. I don't know.
She's a.
Well, your family's Italian.
Did you
right?
know any of the people on the
Dave's
show?
Dave's family. Is.
Okay, well they're Catholic, probably.
They are Catholic.
Did you know any of the big love people? The people on the big love show.
Yeah, we all know each other.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
How's Mitt Romney doing?
Oh, yeah, he's fine.
Does he show up at the parties at your house?
They have a lot of wives, don't they? They need a lot of wedding dresses.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not Catholic?
No, my husband's family is Catholic.
Okay. You're a Mormon.
I am. Well, I'm lapsed.
Nah, I'd say lapsed. here's what I don't get, Timmy. Yeah. It's just more people that are disappointed in you.
More wives.
Yeah, the more wives you get, the
more
we
have
more
in-laws too, right?
I'm really not sure you can have more people disappointed in you.
Well, that's true.
Okay, so this was so she grew up, she was shy and considered a bit odd, Brandy. As she grew up, Esther was considered to be virtuous and enjoyed a good reputation, much like yourself.
She got a good reputation.
She could be moody.
At the swingers club. Oh, there we go.
And withdrawn at times.
Moody and withdrawn. Oh, well, yeah.
Often sulking if she did not get her way, Brandy. Since she's 19 years old.
She's a princess.
Yeah. Besides her mood swings, the only other thing that stood out about her was that she had a strange love for vinegar. Apparently, Esther would drink vinegar by the gallons.
Oof.
She also was a bit OCD and washed her hands 50 to 100 times
per
day.
That'd be some funky breath.
I didn't even know you could drink vinegar like that.
People drink apple cider vinegar.
Yeah. Well, she liked it. The other odd thing about her was she always smelled a perfume, even though, according to reports, she never used perfume in her life. So what could that be?
Her soap? Her hand washing?
She was often complimented for her smell, even though she didn't do anything to enhance it. So apparently she smelled good.
Yeah, she washed her hands 100 times a day.
By the time she was 18, Esther's siblings encouraged her to start courting men in order that she may find a suitable husband, Brandy.
Well, yeah, she's getting a little long in the tooth.
18. By this time, Esther had turned into an attractive young woman, and men in the local community began to express interest in seeing her socially. So she has some admirers. She was reluctant to start courting men. How old were you when you started dating?
16.
Okay. She was very shy and did not have much.
Did you get courted?
Yes.
How did they court? Because I know you're from the country. How did they court up there? You're from Amish country, aren't you?
I'm not from Amish country.
You're from up in what, Lebanon? That's Amish country?
It's not.
I bought pies, Amish pies and shit up there.
Did you have suitors?
I did.
Okay.
Now your dad was a he was armed all the time.
Yes.
So how was it coming? I mean, yeah. How'd you like to have to do this, date the devil? Now think about this. First of all, you got to get past a fairly burly, right? Your dad.
I thought you were talking about me.
Your dad's a big guy.
My dad is a big guy.
A fairly burly, rather rough
ex-soldier.
Ex-soldier who is always armed in law enforcement. And when you get past, when you run that gauntlet, Timmy, you get to spend the whole night alone with the devil.
Well, you've forgotten about my mother.
And your
twice as many
brothers
as anybody.
Yeah.
So, now my brothers didn't give a damn.
We have not had your brother up here in a while.
My brothers don't give a damn.
Yeah, we need to get Casey.
I'm arguing with Casey right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
We can have an intervention.
Quit being such a wretched hoe and be nice to that man. He's a nice boy.
Family counseling session, if you like.
No.
Do we need an intervention?
No.
Okay. She was shy, did not have much interest in dating.
Right.
However, her sisters kept pushing her to date and warned her unless she would make herself more available, she may end up an old maid.
At 20.
At 18. One of the local men who expressed interest in Esther was a shoemaker named Bob McNeil, Brandy.
Mm-hmm.
While Esther was 19 years old, Bob was 36 at the time, and he was already twice widowed.
Damn.
He met Esther at a church when she was 16, and it began pursuing her for 3 years.
Jeez.
Bob was not a very good person and was often in trouble with the police.
Stop.
Hammer time.
Just because you're in trouble with the police does not make you a bad person.
Yeah, but then he tries to do rapesies with her. So.
Okay, now that makes you a bad person.
Yeah.
But sometimes
there are
misunderstandings between you and the police.
They just
need to be worked out.
He should often hunt stray cats and dogs and then skin them alive.
That makes him a
bad
person.
Okay, now we're getting into bad person territory, but you just made a broad generalization over people.
Well,
who,
what you have to remember is Timmy's read this story, so he can make those because he knows what's coming up.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
He sends them to us in the last minute so we can't prepare.
Yeah, 24 hours ago. But when it came to Esther, Bob McNeil appeared to be smitten, Brandy.
Yes.
Each day he would pick fresh daisies and deliver them to his door. So he sounds like a nice guy.
Nope.
After turning down her suitor on several occasions, Esther finally agreed to attend an ice cream social with Bob McNeil. At first, Bob was mild-mannered and seemed content to wait for Esther to show him affection. After several dates, however, Bob grew impatient, Colonel.
On the three-date rule.
He told Esther that he was a grown man with real needs, and if she would not fulfill those needs, he would find a woman who would, Brandy. But
she didn't want to go out with him in the first place. He's all gas, grass, or ass, and she didn't want to go out with him in the first place.
Well, hold on now.
And he's buying her ice cream.
He bought her ice cream.
Bringing her daisies every day.
Now, you buy somebody ice cream.
Oh, you have to
There's an implied contract.
Implied contract.
Yeah.
It's implied. I mean,
and I'm not saying that on the first date, if it's ice cream, but if that woman accepts the ice cream and then follows up with a second date.
She's asking for
what
it.
About
it's basically an obligation.
Yeah, actually,
does
you're
it depend
really
on the kind of ice cream?
Hmm?
Does it depend on the kind of ice cream?
So it
like
does.
If they buy me something really fancy from like, you know, Ben and Jerry's or Grater's, then clearly I have to put out. But if he's just getting me some old vanilla soft serve from the Dairy Queen.
No. If he buys you a Heath Bar thing off the ice cream truck to driving down the street ringing a bell, yes, you took the ice cream.
No.
You took the ice cream, girl.
No. There's no implied contract there.
You take the
there.
Ice cream, you take the weenie.
No.
That's the deal.
No.
All right, so Bob was getting a little frustrated.
I'd rather have the ice cream.
He, you know, Esther was...
money on ice cream.
I'd rather have the ice cream.
At this point.
The ice cream doesn't talk back.
Once on a date, Bob had pulled over his carriage and insisted...
Pulled over the carriage.
Insisted.
Don't make me pull this carriage over.
Did he put his signal on?
And insisted,
throw on his hazards?
Insisted that Esther kiss him, but she refused.
Rock on, Esther. Just say no, girl.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The couple were several miles away from her home, and it was late at night, Brandy.
Yeah.
Bob threatened to leave Esther on the road alone in the dark if she would not provide him with some relief.
Relief.
Ugh.
Finally, Esther.
Bob is a worm.
Finally, Esther, fearing she would be left stranded, allowed Bob to look at her bloomers. The sight of which.
Not her bloomers.
The sight of her Esther's undergarment excited Bob, and he was soon groaning in ecstasy, Brandy.
I'm so grossed out by this right now.
So he rubbed one out.
First of
I
all.
I don't even know how you. Have you ever walked past Victoria's Secret and looked in the bloomer section?
No,
because I can't even glance sideways. If I glance sideways,
bloomers.
I'm immediately on a scale of 1 to 10. I'm immediately at 8.75 if I see bloomers in the window.
Bloomers can have an effect on a man.
First of all, again, let's establish she didn't want to go out with this motherfucker in the first place, and now you're making all kinds of. Well, I'm gonna leave you on the side of the road, motherfucker. Fine. Leave me on the side of the goddamn road.
Well, she might have been wearing those
dark,
Little House on the Prairie boot shoes.
Dude, they're used to walking miles and miles. It's back in the 1700s or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah, but would you wear a walk home or just show him your bloomers and then get a ride home? All she did was show him his bloomers.
Probably have you ever showed... Have you ever kissed or showed your boots for a
bloomers.
Ride?
Bloomers? Own bloomers.
I'm
well, they wore bloomers back in the day.
No, I understand. Right. I'm familiar with female underwear,
okay.
Having owned a few pair.
Well,
I get
then,
it.
Wouldn't it seem a lot? It seemed to me like it would be, it's the path of least resistance. Show him your bloomers, you get a ride home. Mm. Right, Colonel?
I don't know what was so hard
but,
about that.
But
just
again,
hike up the skirt a little bit. I mean.
Then you don't, but don't go out with him again.
Well, you'll get to that.
Yeah, I know. I see that. Okay. So anyway. So
you're blaming the victim, basically.
Here. I'm not blaming the victim. This guy's
this
a fucking
like she's
worm.
She's blaming the victim to you, Chris.
No, this guy's a worm. I'm just saying.
He has a worm.
Well, clearly, that found relief.
So he masturbated while she was looking at the bloomer. So that's kind of gross.
So.
Yeah. And you know, she washes her hand 100 times a day.
Oh, so. I bet she took a Silkwood shower when she got home. After Bob appeared to find some relief, he took Esther home as promised, because he's a good guy that
way.
Well,
a man of his word, Colonel.
There you go. Esther never spoke of the incident. She should have told her dad, so her dad could have popped a cap in his ass.
Archibald.
Yeah, Archie. Really should have told Archie. But silently vowed never to go out with Bob McNeil again.
Okay.
Bob was persistent, however, and continued to pursue the young girl. After weeks of rejecting his advances, Esther finally relented and agreed to go on a carriage ride with Bob as long as he promised no funny business.
Okay, no funny business, Colonel. Have you ever went out with anyone on the condition of no funny business?
Basically, when I was going out on dates as a younger man to me, I would bring a notary with me and I would have them sign saying that if anything happened, they had to have my express clear consent.
What do you think about that, Brandy?
You're an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Idiot.
All right. So, no funny business.
No funny business.
So Bob says, sure.
Okay.
Bob, and
he's a man of his word, apparently.
Oh, yeah. And drove the young girl out to the countryside where they sat and talked. Before long, Bob, being the great guy that
he is.
Well,
you know, she probably didn't know. A lot of the guys she went out with probably didn't have their own carriage.
Well,
he probably had a sweet ride.
With flames down the side.
Spinners on the wheels. Yes. Probably had some badass horses pulling
sweet rides. Before long, Bob, being the great guy that he was once again coming on to her and begging her for sex.
Okay.
Esther, God love her, held out. Said, okay. Nope. Finally, Bob jumped out of the carriage, withdrew a revolver, and pointed the weapon at Esther's heart.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Bob insisted that if Esther did not have sex with him at that very moment, she would kill her.
Yeah, so it's a sexual assault at this point.
Oh, yeah. But or I love
attempted sexual
assault. Yeah, but I love this. Shocked and frightened, Esther became defiant. She told Bob she had no intention of giving him her favors and insisted that he either kill her or take her home.
Good for
that.
Her.
Now that is badass woman
that's
right
badass.
There.
So Bob was shocked at Esther's defiance, whatever, and not knowing how to handle her, he took Esther home, and as soon as she exited the carriage, he took off.
Oh, you know he had to be feeling all.
I'm surprised he even slowed down.
Yeah, like
again,
I can't.
She should have let Archie know.
Oh, for sure.
Let me think.
So, I mean, it's a traumatic experience for her.
No, this is awful. Yeah.
Let me run this one by you, Timmy.
Uh-huh.
Moby Colonel. Or possibly Colonel of the Rings.
I like it, Colonel. I think I would.
Yeah. I'm going to do a trilogy.
I would read it. I would read it, Brandy.
Although Esther was clearly distraught.
Can you make sure that's an audible book?
She did not.
I'm going to do my own thing.
Reading?
Yeah, I'll do my own reading.
She did not tell her family of the attempted rape. She instead changed clothes and went to bed early. And this is when some bizarre things started to occur.
Bizarre things always occur when you go to bed early, Colonel.
That's why I stay up late.
He goes to bed at 6.
And I'm telling you, bizarre things happen.
Although the house was crowded with the Teeds and their extended family.
The Teeds? They had Teeds in there?
Teeds.
Oh.
T-E-E-D-S. Olive Teed.
Teeds. Olive Teed.
It wasn't unusual for households to take in boarders to help pay rent.
I don't like the olive teats, Timmy. I like the cantaloupe-sized teats.
Olive oil never had big breasts, Colonel.
She didn't have any breasts at all.
Mm-hmm. Walter Hubble, a sometimes actor, was a boarder at the Teed residence when the first... Huh?
Okay.
Oh. When the first stirrings of supernatural phenomena took place, and he recorded them in his book, The Great Amherst Mystery.
Yeah, this is the dude with the book.
The first night...
Have you ever noticed, speaking of olive oil, Bluto was downright rapey.
Do you think he was better hung than Popeye?
Well, I'm sure he was. Unless Popeye had spinach. That was like Popeye's Viagra. But Bluto would just snatch olive oil and drag her away. And I'm pretty sure that's not the message you want to send
like
to children.
50 Shades of Grey, Bluto was. He'd grab her by
No, he was more like a... Ted Bundy at a cartoon world.
Do you think he was rapey, Brandy?
Yes. The first night, Esther's sleep was interrupted, and screams of fright brought all of the adults in the house rushing to the room where the sisters, Esther and Jenny, shared a bed. The girls had seen the formation of something moving under their covers as they were about to go to sleep for the night.
Somebody got a boner.
Esther thought it was a mouse. A search turned up nothing, and the girls returned to bed, and the house quieted for the night. The following night, more screams disturbed the family. Again, the noise was attributed to a mouse. On the third night, the girls set up a trap for the mouse so it could no longer interrupt their sleep. Around 2 a.m., Esther and Jenny excitedly exclaimed that they heard strange noises coming from a box of fabric scraps that they kept under the bed.
Do you keep a box of fabric scraps under your bed, Brandy?
No,
she keeps handcuffs, whips, nipple clamps, whatever she uses on her poor victims. Hot wax. You do the hot wax drip on those poor men.
I keep fingers of my victims under my bed.
I keep teeth.
Of course you do. Let's see.
This is a quick story about, because it makes me think screaming in the night, because this happened to me the other night.
Okay.
I could not sleep, and I'm laying there, and I feel down by my foot, you know, the world's most dangerous canine, Rudy. The Wonder Dog. And I stopped petting Rudy with my foot. Only it was not Rudy. It was my vicious attack cat, McGee,
mm-hmm.
who does not appreciate being rubbed by your foot. And he bit me on the foot. Well, he bit me on the foot, Timmy, and it made me jerk back, my leg back. And you ever jerk your leg back, move your leg back, and you get one of those Charlie horses behind your knee?
Oh, yeah, it hurts.
No, he doesn't. He's never done that.
To try to stop it, I straightened my leg real fast.
You have to bite your bottom lip.
Well, I pulled a hamstring, straightening my leg so fast. And at 3:30 in the morning, I let out a wail, Timmy,
mm-hmm.
that woke up everybody in the house, and had to get up and walk around. And it still hurts. You might notice me limping a little bit. I put a little liniment ointment on it, but
yeah,
it was painful. It was quite painful.
Quite the tale there.
So is the story.
Hmm? No, I'm just saying.
When you get Charlie Hurst, do you bite your bottom lip?
No.
You do that, it'll go away. Or you bite someone else's.
No.
See, the cat already bit me, so I did not think it was a good idea to bite his bottom lip.
No. McGee is dangerous.
McGee is dangerous. McGee's killed everything on four legs.
All right.
Some things on two.
Look.
So would you just get on with this? Come on. I want to hear more about the screaming.
They hear noises coming from the fabric scraps under her bed, under their bed. So they were convinced that they now had the mouse. When they brought the box out to the center of the room, it leapt into the air of its own accord and landed on its side.
Well, that's odd.
No sooner had the girls nervously righted the box when it jumped into the air again, eliciting screams from the young women. Up to this point, the events could have been attributed to the active imagination of two girls, especially given Esther's recent harrowing experience at the hands of Bob McNeil. But the third night would provide evidence to all in the Teed House that something far out of the ordinary was happening.
The Teed House.
With Esther Cox.
Isn't that next to the Mustang Ranch down in Las Vegas, the Teed House?
The following night, Esther excused herself to bed early, complaining that she was feeling feverish. About 10 p.m.
I got the fever. Go ahead, Deb.
About 10 p.m., soon after Jenny joined her in bed.
Now it's getting good.
Two sisters sharing the same bed.
Really? Because I've mentioned this three times. Timmy found this a fascinating fucking comment. Timmy found the fact that these sisters were sharing a bed so fucking fascinating. It's mentioned like three times in here. And you're just now fucking picking up on it. Yes, they shared a bed.
Well, it didn't. I just didn't know they were so committed to it. By the third time, I realized it was a lifestyle choice.
I don't think it was a lifestyle choice.
I'm not judging them.
I don't think it was
a crowded house.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
You
got the actor standing there. I don't know why the actor is there, really. I mean, if you don't have enough room, don't bring in an actor.
Well, they got to pay the rent.
And a mouse.
All right. So about 10 p.m., soon after Jenny joined her in bed, Esther jumped up from the bed to the center of the room, tearing at her night clothes and screaming, "My God, what's happening to me? I'm dying." Jenny lit a lamp and looked at her sister, horrified to see that her skin was bright red and seemed to be swelling unnaturally. Olive rushed into the room and assisted Jenny into getting her sister back into bed, as it now seemed that she was choking and struggling to breathe. The other adults watched in disbelief as Esther's entire body, which was remarkably hot to the touch, swelled and reddened. Esther's eyes bulged and she cried in pain, fearing that she was literally going to burst through her stretched skin. Then from beneath Esther's bed came a deafening bang like a clap of thunder that shook the room. Three more loud reports exploded from under the bed, after which Esther's swelling subsided and she fell into a deep, deep sleep. Four nights later, these terrifying events repeated themselves. Esther's unexplained swelling and torture ended only by the thunderous noise from under the bed. At a loss to cope with this unearthly ordeal, Daniel, who the fuck is Daniel, asked a local doctor, Dr. Carrett, to examine Esther. And he was witness to some of the most frightening events of all.
Daniel was Olive's husband.
Okay. The doctor agreed to stay all night in the event that the attacks occurred again. Attending at Esther's bedside, he watched in astonishment as her pillow moved beneath her head, untouched by any hands.
That's scary shit.
You know what, though? Sometimes I think that's just people stealing your pillow.
He heard the loud bangs from underneath the bed, but could not find any cause for them. He saw her bedclothes thrown across the room by unseen hands. Then the doctor heard a scratching noise, like a metal door scraping into plaster. Ugh. Dr. Kret looked at the wall above Esther's bed and saw letters nearly a foot high etching themselves into the wall. When it was done, it spelled out, "Esther Cox, you are mine to kill."
Mm.
A jagged...
That's not cool, Colonel.
Yeah.
No, you know what I
why
hate
it,
when
why
I get...
Why are they picking on this poor girl?
This is what I hate. You ever get up in the morning and, like, you're getting ready for work and then you see lipstick on the mirror that says, "You will die tonight"?
No.
I hate
never
that.
Had that happen.
I've never seen that.
Yeah,
and yet here you are, so somebody's clearly not committed.
I think I got a poltergeist.
Yeah. A jagged clump of plaster then tore off the wall, flew across the room, and landed at the doctor's feet. After 2 hours, the house fell quiet. Dr. Kret, out of courage, compassion, or curiosity, returned the next day and bore witness to more unexplained manifestations. Potatoes hurled themselves across the room. The deafening noises now seemed to be coming from the roof of the house, yet when the doctor investigated, there was no apparent cause. Of these events, years later, he would write to a colleague, Honestly, skeptical persons were on all occasions soon convinced that there was no fraud or deception in the case. Were I to publish the case in the medical journals, as you suggest, I doubt if it would be believed by physicians generally. I am certain I could not have believed such apparent miracles had I not witnessed them. The doctor, of course, could do nothing to help Esther or settle the disturbances at the Teed home.
The Teed home?
Yeah, I'm
yes,
telling you.
The Teed
They should have had a sign made. Teed home, turn
Cox
right.
Cox and Teeds.
Yeah, they got Coxes and Teeds all
so
over.
So what do you think
place.
About that, Brandy? Wouldn't that freak you out?
Shit, fuck that noise. You burn that shit down and move.
Yeah.
Burning down
so
the
what
house.
Happened next, Colonel?
Well, Timmy, let me tell you about this.
These
now,
are strange phenomena.
It's strange days here in the Teed house.
Cox and Teeds.
Now, the haunting continued and, in fact, became more destructive and threatening, devil.
Burn it down. And
Walter move. Hubble remained in the home for some 6 weeks and documented the events and eventually published a book about the haunting. Among the events he documented, with multiple witnesses, mind you.
Multiple witnesses, more than just one.
Unexplained fires erupted around the house. Now, that could have been that little bastard we had on the podcast that me and the devil did. Just starting fires everywhere.
They would got hit in the head with a clipboard.
He was a self-described drifter.
He was. They would start in one part of the house, and when the family went to put out the fire, another one would start in a different. See, that's
and that poltergeist just fucking with you there.
That's like us, Timmy, like me and you. I mean, me and you in our jobs, not the devil, because you don't do anything here, but running around putting out fires all day. That's where the saying came from. It came from the Teed house
and the Cox
house.
Oh my God!
Now knives and forks were thrown by some entity. Probably an angry woman, sticking violently into the woodwork. Often they would hurl through the air and stop before impaling Esther. Oh, they would not impale Esther. They just stop. Then they fall to the floor.
And they would, like, puncture her skin but not do any real damage.
Yeah, the knives would sometimes pierce her skin, cause her to bleed, but cause no serious injury. I was actually getting to that point, Timmy.
I heard that somewhere.
But, yeah. Now, little matches, Timmy, out of thin air. Now, listen to this. What do you think of this, Brandy? Little matches out of thin air would materialize and drop onto beds where Esther would lay.
She's trying to set her on fire.
You know what? God just hated this woman.
But
that's
you know,
all it is.
That seems so mean.
But, you know, if the poltergeists have, I mean, obviously they've got a lot of energy and a lot of power. Why don't they just kill her instead of fucking with her?
Well, I think it was probably more fun to do this. Furniture would move about by itself. Flipping over, sometimes slamming into walls repeatedly. Luckily, Helen Keller didn't get one of these because it would have fucked her up bad, the furniture always moving around and stuff.
Yeah.
Now, loud slaps were heard. That was the two girls up in the bedroom, though. Oh, you've been bad today. Followed by the appearance of red finger marks on Esther's face. Sewing pins, Timmy, often appeared from nowhere and were jabbed into Esther's face.
I did piss you off after a while, wouldn't it?
It caused your complexion to. You know what my brother said to me one time,
What's
me?
That?
I had chicken pox as a child, you know, and you can see from my face.
Right.
And I was a little self-conscious about it. Mm-hmm. And he came up one time.
Freak.
And I was shaving. And
you missed her comment, Colonel.
Huh?
You missed her comment.
That was rude, devil. So
you,
I was shaving.
What'd I say?
Did I look like a freak? That was hurtful. So I was shaving. Now, if you have the chicken pox and you got the little pox mark, when you shave, it's like Bondo, you know, the shaving cream sticks in the little hole and you got to wipe it off. And I came out and I had just shaved and my brother was waiting for me. He's dead now. God rest his soul.
He died of ALS, Brandy.
He did. So anyway.
He cut himself a lot shaving.
He said, I need you. He's like, end. Hey, you know, go wipe your face off. You got a bunch of pox marks there with shaving cream in there. And so I went and wiped my face off, and I said something. And he's like, you know, I wouldn't be too self-conscious about those things. I said, I hate these things. Mm-hmm. You know, and he said, no, it adds character. And I said, oh, okay, thank you. He said, it just looks like your face caught on fire and somebody tried to put it out with a pitchfork. Who says that kind of thing to their little brother, Timmy?
I don't know, but that's amazing.
It's kind of funny, actually. Okay. So what happens next, Colonel? What else is going on in that house?
That's the longest fucking pointless story.
A pocket knife was...
People like those stories,
Christ.
Man.
No, they
a
don't.
A pocket knife... Here, listen to me read this, devil. See, Timmy spends all this time on his...
Dude,
bro,
shut your cock holster and get going.
Just, I mean, it's like you... It almost, you know who you sound like reading this shit? You sound like Siri reading a script. God damn it. Bring some life into the thing. This is why I win awards and you sit and watch. Now,
he
God damn it, pay
awards,
attention.
Awards, Brandy.
Award-winning podcast. Now, pocket knife.
Biggest douchebag.
I
got to
bring life to Tim. To,
and don't let me bring out my rock star award, of which you have none.
Oh, yeah. He's never won an award
and
here
a star
work.
Thing there.
And you, and I believe.
But one of our other colleagues won an Hamilton County Employee of the Year.
Yeah, that was
impressive. That douchebag.
So anyway, Timmy, one time a pocket knife was ripped from the hand of a neighborhood boy and stabbed into Esther's back. Ooh,
we
stabbed
didn't like
in
Esther. Paulingeist did not like
causing
Esther.
Her a serious wound
wrong.
That seemed to heal overnight. See, people could
I
just
think
fuck
Bob
with
has
Esther.
Something to do with this. Bob McNeil.
Yeah. And cats, Kent, Timmy, this cats would stand on their hind legs and appear to sing nursery rhymes.
That's fucked up there.
Yeah. Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
Wouldn't it scare you, Brandy, if a cat got up on his hind legs and started reading nursery rhymes?
A bit.
Good night, moon. Good night, Esther. I'm going to kill you in your sleep.
That would be scary.
Now, poor tormented Esther tried several times to escape the devilish entity, but it followed her wherever she went. One Sunday, Esther attended a Baptist church service and sat in one of the rear pews. Oh, Esther was one of those back pew people.
Once the service had begun. How about you, Colonel? You go to church often.
Timmy, I do the sermons and stuff, so I have to.
What is your sermon this week?
My sermon this week is on the virtues of gambling, Timmy.
There's virtues of gambling?
There's virtues in gambling.
I thought the Lord was opposed to gambling.
No, the whole... the Lord wants everybody to understand that life is just a roll of the dice, Timmy.
Uh-huh. So he's
favor
of slot machines?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He wants people to...
Gamble more, Brandy.
Gamble more. That's right. That's what my sermon is going to be about. And then we're going to have some card games in the back. Now, so Esther's in church, all right?
Yes.
And then there's some knocking and rappings echoing throughout the church.
Okay.
Seeming to come from the front of the church, and they grew louder and louder, Timmy. Drowning out the minister's sermon because they didn't have microphones back there.
See, Brandy, poltergeist should be required to stay in a certain location. It shouldn't be able to follow you.
Poltergeist, churches should be poltergeist-free zones.
I agree.
But you know what?
They're not.
If you make a poltergeist-free zone, only the bad guy's going to have poltergeist.
I see.
You see?
Get that. I see what you did
the
there.
The only thing that will kill a poltergeist is a good guy with a poltergeist to me.
Okay, a good poltergeist.
Yeah, good guy with a good...
Think about that, Brandy.
I don't want to.
Well, the noises grew louder and louder and louder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Much like when you're nagging your poor, long-suffering husband over there, devil. Louder and louder. Drowning out the minister's sermon, fearing the church was about to collapse, the parishioners fled their pews, Timmy. And that was before the collection plate was passed around, so the minister was pissed. Now, knowing that Esther was the cause, the parishioners refused to return to the church as long as Esther remained a member. But the minister had a solution, and this is how the story ends. You remember Joan of Arc, Timmy?
Yeah.
They took Esther out one Sunday and burned her at the stake.
That is not what happened.
To get rid of the poltergeist.
No.
Okay, that's the alternate ending.
Yes.
While, with donations drying up, see, the minister's mad. He forbade Esther from attending services.
You've been kicked out of a church, Brandy.
That's none of your business.
I actually have been kicked out of a church before, Timmy.
Of course you have.
I have.
Third asshole over here really has clearly been kicked out of a church.
What happened?
He was kicked out of the Vatican, I'm sure.
Now, this is a true story, Timmy, and I'll try to make it brief. But
oh, my God.
A woman was doing a sermon. They did this thing on the power of prayer, you know, and I was one of those guys. I went to church because, you know, I was told I had to be at church.
Right.
But they had really good donuts there, so I would go. I didn't really mind it.
Yeah, go for the donuts.
And the sermon was going on a long time. And the woman was talking about the power of prayer, and she's going on and on and on about this stuff. And
like this story.
And I said, you know, I had Renee sit next to me. I said, you know, this kind of bullshit, because, you know, just right before my brother, God rest his soul, died.
Yeah, your brother was sick with ALS.
And I said, you know, you could get everybody in China to pray for my brother. He's going to die because nobody has ever had what he has
and lived.
Lived through it. So, and this woman up here, every time something bad happens to her, she says a prayer and something good happens to her. It's like playing the goddamn lottery where you win, it's fixed.
Mm-hmm.
If you want my, and so I'm having a little sermon in my little pew right here, right, Timmy? But I'm getting a little too loud.
I'm sure that went over well.
It did not go over well. And Renee said, quiet down. And I said, look, you want to impress me. I want somebody up there that's prayed and didn't get what they wanted. Mm-hmm. And still has the faith in the Lord our Savior, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
But Renee told me, tone it down. Quiet down. Mm-hmm. Shut up. Yeah, so I was sitting there. And it kept going on. Mm-hmm. And then finally the woman said, this is where she made me snap, Timmy. She made me snap, and I think our listeners will agree. She said, I know that it can be, this might sound petty. She said, but one time a group of ducks took up residence in our swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
This is how the Sopranos start.
And I, no, this is true. And she said, I did not want to get rid of the ducks, but they ruin all the pH balance and they foul the water and everything else. And I looked over at Renee and I said, are you fucking kidding me? But I said it apparently in a tone that people like eight pews ahead of me could hear me.
You said it out loud.
I forgot I was in church, and I said, are you fucking kidding me? And she said, Renee said, stop. I said, no, you know, I don't care if you got the goddamn Loch Ness Monster in your goddamn swimming pool. If you got a fucking swimming pool, you ain't doing so goddamn bad. And Renee said, get out of the church right this minute. I said, I am getting out of this church because this shit ain't going nowhere. So I went out in the parking lot. I went to the vending machine, got me a Mountain Dew, went out in the parking lot, smoked some cigarettes. The pastor came over to me and asked me if I was doing all right, and I told him the sermon went, her little thing went a little long, and I got a little edgy. Now think about that woman complaining about, and then saying a prayer
so
about it.
So they ask you not to come back.
He asked me to not use the Lord's name in vain in my pew.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, well,
you got kicked out of church.
You can actually ask. That's a true story. There are plenty of witnesses to that. So,
oh my God.
Well. So the parishioners want to burn Esther at the stake, but they won't let her. So she moved to a neighbor's house, and the poltergeist, of course, followed her.
See, Brandy, I don't think poltergeist should be allowed to follow you.
No, they do.
Poltergeist was like a hemorrhoid there, and she was forced to return home. At the tits landlord, fearing the destructive nature of the phenomena, wanted to evict the family. Again, taking responsibility for the events, Esther moved herself out instead, finding work at a nearby farm, milking goats. Now, when the farm's barn burned to the ground, however, the farmer said, Esther, you got to go, and arrested Esther for arson, for which she was convicted and served a 4-month sentence. Fortunately, Esther only served 1 month in jail and was released. The short sentence may have seemed like a low point to the much troubled Esther, but it did have its upside. You know what did not happen?
What?
The poltergeist would not go in jail, Timmy.
So it was a blessing in disguise that she got sent up the river.
Yeah. She never saw the poltergeist again. Now, maybe the poltergeist got locked up, too, or the poltergeist joined a gang in jail. Anything could have happened. I don't know.
We have a lot of people who have problems with Facebook jail.
Yeah. Karen Barnes. There were minor instances for a short time, and then the haunting stopped completely. Esther would go on to marry twice and died of the consumption in 1912 at the age of 53, Timmy.
Okay.
Walter Hubble published his book, The Great Amherst Mystery, after her death, and it included an affidavit signed by 16 witnesses of the horrific events at Amherst. The events that occurred in Esther's household remain a mystery to this day.
Brandy, what's your final thoughts on Esther Cox and the Great Amherst Mystery?
I blame Bob, what's his butt?
McNeil.
I blame him for all of it.
You think it's because he got his weenie got a little excited?
I am blaming him for all of it.
Okay, Colonel, what's your final thoughts on Esther Cox?
She shouldn't have lived in the tit house, Timmy. If you're going to live in the tit house.
Is it a strange story? Did it frighten you in any way?
It did not frighten me, Timmy. I've dealt worse than poltergeist, Timmy. You have three boys running around your house, Timmy. You got knives and shit flying all the time. This don't scare me.
Right.
All right. We want to thank our devoted listeners who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support this fine podcast, the arts, if you would like to support the arts. Brandy, I know you support the arts. If you would like to support the arts, you can do so by going to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or
just a wee little bit to me.
And I'm going
to
ask the Colonel now to read the Patreon list. We've got it updated so that we include
somebody
everyone
got the Patreon list?
Who's been very generous.
Your pop's on it.
He's been very generous with
fucking
your kind.
Idiots.
Here we go. Don't. Jim Seabright, Adam Andrew Scammell, I'm sorry, Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes, Terry Stratford, Malachi, Brandy McBride, Jennifer Sabota, Per Westman, Maggie Glover, Gracie's mom.
Yes.
Gracie's mom, of course, Erica Kinney, Hyro, The Comeback Podcast, LK Barr, Reen, Marissa, Bridget Clavey, Phyllis Munson, Jennifer Riker Smith, Stephen Potts, Anna Garrett, Ben Dobrovich, Ursula Clark, of course, and Diane, who are out right now.
They are on their way to, or they're in England right
Beth
now.
Beth Wallen, Michelle Johns, lovely Michelle Johns, Margaret McDonald, Aaron Turner, Jess Leanne Flanagan, a beautiful Irish girl.
Lovely hair.
Julia Rodriguez, Mike Sadler, Jamie Dent, Tyrone, Marsha, Boris, Stacy Alsop, Jody and Sean Wells, Amber Anderson, They Walk Among Us, Ben.
And Rosanna.
And Rosanna, Lorna Violet.
They just got back from Morocco.
They did. Michael Dale, Kelly Shrett, Karen Widener, Callie, the lovely Callie Jones, Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Pleasing Terrors, Mike Brown, Sarah Bloom, Amber, of course, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Kimberly Cameron, Elise, of course, Edridge Hinton, History Goes Bump, Amber Trevino, Annette Petray, Lise, Lahara Lopez, Alicia and Chip Mincy, Mark Smith,
from Jahara for a while.
Don and Jeff Chestnut, whose anniversary is today. Happy anniversary.
Yay,
Jeff, you're lucky to have that woman.
Yesterday was Jennifer Sabota's birthday, so happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Andrew Happ, Karen Barnes, Rachel Flynn, Shirley, we're going to invade your ass. We're going to take over your country. You're going to be flying red, white, and blue. You try to threaten America again, you Canadian bastards. Todd Long, Melissa Montoya, Maja, Shelley Garrett, my lovely co-host from the other one, Timmy.
Mm-hmm. The Rants and Reasons podcast.
Carol Elise, Christine Malachinsky, Adam McWaters, and Rants and Reasons podcast.
Yes. And
we're on there twice.
Haunted Visions podcast.
Haunted Visions podcast. Paula Kimes, The Vanish podcast. Canadian True Crime. Charlie from Insight, Angela Santos, Lydia Wassum Fisher, Kim Stroop, Nicole Adams, Ron Monasterio, Tracy Smith, Bridget Bernard, Stacy, Cheryl Weldon, Lady Beverly, lovely Lady Beverly.
Lovely Lady Beverly.
Rudy, the most dangerous canine in the world.
Rudy,
the wonder dog.
I think Rudy's credit card was declined, so you might want to mention to him he needs to update his credit card.
You know what? I just told the devil about that battle.
Mm-hmm.
I just told her about that.
What happened?
No.
Huh?
No. No, people have to get back to
I had
work.
An extra check
I'll
card,
and
I just
shit.
Told my wife, she because it was an extra one, she killed it.
Really?
And I was like, do you have... Now I got to go back to all these things that are tied to that card number.
Well, let Rudy
and
know.
And redo them.
Let Rudy, I thought Rudy had his own card.
Well, Rudy would occasionally use mine.
I see. Okay.
And because our immigration policies are so jacked up in this country, Timmy, I cannot get a social security number for Rudy the Wonder Dog.
That's awful.
It is. So now he's got to use my bank account. But yeah, she did that. She's like, oh, we don't need it for anything. I was like, God damn it. My New York Times account, my everything else. Here. I got like 9 things that are tied to that card.
Yeah.
Now I got to go back
porn,
and redo everything.
All your porn.
Pornhub. Everything, Timmy. Okay. You got it. Now you're getting it in like low definition, low speed. You know, it's just no good.
Yeah.
But, and Dottie, I'm sorry nobody died in this one. We're really sorry. The next one, we promise a lot of people are going to get murdered, okay?
Yeah, we'll do a mass murder or something.
Yeah.
Brandy, you have any final thoughts?
No.
You want to say anything to everyone on our page? We love you.
Thank you all for listening so much.
All right. We'll see you next time on History Degrees. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Colonel.
Goodbye. Good day.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.